This is Radio Catskill, your community radio station. I'm Jason Dole, and we're keeping you connected. And right now, this is the time of week where we check in with what's happening over the river from where I am right now. I'm in Jeffersonville. We check in over the river with Wayne County. And today we've been talking, everybody's looking at COVID and the numbers going up. Cases are continuing to rise, even in our listening area, even in Wayne County. And they're taking some action to help slow the spread of the virus. So on the phone with us now to talk about this is Jim Pennato, RN and Director of Patient Care Services at Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thanks for joining us, Jim. How are you doing today?
Oh, very good, sir. How are you doing?
Good, good. And I will just pause to alert the listener that Wayne Memorial is a funder of WJFF. So COVID numbers are going up around the country, and that includes in our area. What efforts is Wayne Memorial Hospital doing in this fight against the coronavirus, I guess, leading up to this moment, and is anything changing because of this moment?
Sure. Everyone is working very cooperatively within the county. We work very closely with County Resources, Emergency Management Agency. We've been doing that since March 5th, when the pandemic really began to strike in our area. And, a lot of actions have been taken, number one, at the hospital level to keep our patients and the community safe. We have taken the utmost precautions from the very beginning. Some of those precautions are not necessarily very popular when it talks about sometimes visitation restrictions, but in an effort to decrease just general traffic through the hospital, one of the things that we did was, kind of put some restrictions in the visitation areas and limited the number of people that could come in. And knowing that, transmission of the virus is, the big concern, especially for patients that might be immunocompromised. Some other things that we have done, try to continue to do a lot of public education, what people can do to keep themselves safe, washing their hands, wearing a mask, social distancing, on every level that we have an opportunity to interact with the public. We try to reinforce those basic concepts because they really do work and they do have an impact. Again, we've readied for patients that have needed our care as a result of COVID infections. We've readied an area of the hospital that is specifically designed to manage those patients, to contain the virus, if you would, in that clinical area with maximum protection for the staff that have to work in those areas. So we're not only taking care of, obviously, the patients, but it's very important for us to take care of our staff, be sure that they have the proper personal protective equipment, particularly when they're dealing with patients that clearly have that infection. And again, it is a very easily spread infection if it's not properly managed and contained.
I do remember more when numbers were higher earlier in the year, more like in the spring, I guess, talking about the COVID unit with folks there at Wayne Memorial. And so I'm just wondering, do you have patients in it at this time? Do you have active hospitalized cases?
Yes, we do. We have pretty much persistently since March had patients actively in the unit. We did fortunately hit a lull through the summer months. July and August, we might have had one or two patients at a time. And many, many weeks going through those months, the unit was actually closed, remained in a ready status, but we really did not see patients needing that level of hospitalization. Unfortunately, in the last several weeks, that has begun to change, and the unit has been consistently opened with patients, needing hospitalization. So, yes, we have pretty much continuously cared for patients with the exception of a little lull during the summer.
All right. And do you happen to know how many active cases there are of COVID-19 in Wayne County right now, writ large?
Sure. I believe really in Wayne County, we still are hovering just under 400 total cases. I believe the numbers were in the 370 range the last count that I had. Of confirmed cases. There's also a varying number of probable cases. Those are patients that are in the midst of testing. As we know, it does take some time for testing to come back. And we know that, we have had some deaths in the Wayne County area, or at least attributed to Wayne County. Obviously, the deaths get attributed to the county the person lives in, not necessarily the hospital or hospitals that are in that particular county. And there's been about a dozen or so deaths, I know, in Wayne County. But I know that that's, that's indicative of where the patient resides, not where they were cared for.
So that 400, that's how many cases you've had throughout the pandemic?
No. I thought you asked about the number of cases in Wayne County. Of cases in Wayne County is just under 400. We have done about 10,000 COVID tests here through the hospital since March.
Right.
And put those through our system. Our positivity rate on those tests has ranged anywhere from as low as 2% to high as 3.5% to 4%. So you can kind of do the math on that. But since March, when we've been doing COVID testing, again, we just knolled over doing 10,000 cases out of our lab. Again, a positivity rate, again, hovering around that 2-3%.
Right. And the just for a point of reference, the numbers in Sullivan County for some of these things, like, there was 51 deaths. There was looks like to be about 44,000 tests. So it seems to be roughly like 10 times or four times as much in both those characteristics. Very, very, very roughly. So, I mean, looking at the numbers right now from the CDC, there's actually like a higher rate of infection in Pennsylvania than there is in New York statewide. But it must be lower in Wayne County than other parts of Pennsylvania that are driving up those numbers.
It is. If you kind of look at the website from the Department of Health and the PA COVID site, you can kind of tell it in more populous areas. Obviously, there's a lot more ease of spread. And the difference I think that we're seeing now in the fall months compared to what we saw in the spring and early summer, there was not really confirmed widespread community spread in the summer, in the beginning part of the year. We now are seeing widespread community transmission. So one of the reasons that these numbers are really becoming more prevalent now is in the beginning part when we were initially hit, I would call them more of a focused hit. They were obviously hitting long-term care facilities, communal living institutions, be it personal care homes, prisons, things of those natures. So the difference in the rise in number is there really was not widespread community transmission back in the beginning part of the year.
So, clearly,
right now, just by lab data, you can tell that there's widespread community transmission going on.
So knowing that that's changed, so right now there's community spread is a real thing and it's happening. What do you want the community to know about that? What does that mean to you, and what does that mean for everybody else? What should they know and do?
What we want the community to know is they can really impact the community spread by just doing the very three simple things. Number one, wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain that 6 feet of distancing. The virus is transmitted via respiratory droplets, which come out when you cough, you sneeze, you talk, you sing, you breathe. Droplets can either be large in size or small in size. Large droplets typically come out and quickly fall towards the ground. Smaller droplets can transmit further, distances of 6 feet. And the problem with the smaller droplets, they not only transmit further, but those droplets will dry up quicker, making the virus easily inhaled by the next person. So the science behind this is if you're masking, you're stopping a lot of the droplets that are coming out of your mouth and your nose. You're reducing the distance they can travel, because if they make it through the mask, because we all know that the cloth masks are not, impermeable, you can get through those. You've hindered or you've slowed that droplet transmission down, allowing it to only go a shorter distance. Initially, it wasn't thought that the cloth masks were very effective as a form of protection for someone, but it was more of a guard against transmitting it to somebody else. And what we're now seeing in some of the numbers, when you look at the areas that are following good masking practices, there probably is some protection for the individual wearing the mask. When the other person is wearing a mask, so you're stopping the droplets or slowing them down from the transmitter, but you're also putting another barrier up for the receiver that helps prevent those droplets from getting into that other person's respiratory tract. And that really, again, is the main mode of transmission that we're seeing. And again, masking really is effective. I know there's been a lot of controversy over it, and the reality is in nursing school and in any medical school, you know, you're taught basic principles of infection control long before COVID, long before, you know, we even had our you know, our flus that, you know, have been so devastating, like H1N1 several years ago. And you always go back to what the basics were, and the basics were just plain old good infection control practices that have been the real hallmark of medical care. Masking, washing your hands, those are very simple things that we have learned as medical personnel help reduce or eliminate transmission of many things, not just COVID-19.
I just want to real quick highlight something that you said in the midst of all, I mean, all of that's important. Just to address what you said, like about the controversialness of this, one of the things that you said is one of the things that's controversial that I just want to point out to people shouldn't be, which is we've learned different things as time goes on. Because it's been a controversy out there. It's like, well, first they said you don't have to wear a mask, and then they said you have to wear a mask, so therefore there's something wrong here. That's suspicious. But there's nothing suspicious about, I mean, that's what science is. You observe and you learn. And there's still things about this virus that we're still learning, you know, this far into it, correct?
Absolutely. And you know what? The pandemic fatigue is what I call it. And it's fatigue, number one, with trying to remain compliant with those simple steps. But more importantly, it's also the frustration of getting new and different information every day, every week, that, well, what do I believe in? And in this message and in this environment, my advice to the public is believe what is being said today versus what you heard yesterday and what you heard the day before, because we are all just learning about it. If I compare it to the treatment modalities that they originally told all the medical professionals, not only in the United States but around the world, of how to treat folks who got seriously ill from COVID-19, we learned very quickly that those treatment methodologies that we deployed earlier in the year were not the best treatment methodologies to be deployed in this environment, and that, in fact, things that we were told not to do were actually the things that were helping patients. So, you know what? Not only has the advice changed, the medical treatment has changed, but to your point, it's because we learned by trial and error. It's unfortunate that we had to learn by error in a lot of situations, but the reality is believe what's coming out now, because that's the best information we have. And if it changes that's not the best information, you're going to get that then tomorrow. And I think if we all can just understand that we're always trying to put out the best information that we can with what we know, that we do have people's best interest in mind, then I think it makes this fatigue that goes on in frustration a little bit easier to handle.
Right. We're gonna have to go pretty quick here, but I am hoping to get two questions in real quick. Today was National Rural Health Day, and I understand there was a webinar. Did you see that? And can you explain real quick anything about how that went or any major takeaway from that?
I unfortunately have to tell you I was otherwise involved in some COVID activities here at the hospital, and I really did not get a chance to participate in it.
That made it a quick answer. And yep. Quick and honest. And then I guess the next thing is like CDC, especially today, hearing on the national news, recommending people do not travel for Thanksgiving. And that, you know, if you've been paying attention, kind of makes sense. I guess the question for you is, do you expect to see a spike in COVID-19 cases after Thanksgiving?
We do. We've heard, you know, a lot of chatter about the, you know, people saying, I want to see my family. I am going to go away. I'm, you know, people just, again, that fatigue setting in. And you know what? As important as our families are, we are expecting that we are going to see an increase, because we recognize people probably are not going to socially distance because they're your family. But if they're not people you regularly see, then there is a possibility of having more widespread community transmission. And you know what I've said to some folks who, you know, have called or asked questions of us, if you really, you know, care about and love your family, you know what, let's talk about how we couldn't meet next year. This year, you know, that we go back and we say, sorry we couldn't meet last year. Let's talk about that next year and let's make up for it. But to put your loved ones in danger is just not the right thing to do. It will put a huge burden on the healthcare system. And I could tell you across at least the state right now, Department of Health, the county, everyone has been actively engaged in watching how many hospital beds are available. particularly for ICU level of care patients. And to use Dr. Fauci's claim, we always look to flatten out the curve. We can take care of everybody as long as we don't get overwhelmed. And when people, you know, do isolate or you know, maintain their social distances, are respectful of the masking and good hand washing, we can flatten out the curve, which means the sick people still come, but they come in a volume and an arrival that everybody can get the optimum care that they should receive. And at no time do we have to make a decision about, you know, who do we care for and who we don't, because no hospital, doctor, nurse, healthcare provider in general ever wants to be put into that situation.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for explaining that to us plainly and clearly. We've been talking to Jim Pettinato, RN and Director of Patient Care Services, Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you so much for this COVID update.
Thank you. And stay safe and healthy.
You too. Have a good holiday and a good evening. This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station. Stay tuned. We got more news coming right up.